If you were asked to describe love, how would you begin? What words would you use to describe it? Maybe you would begin with those proverbial butterflies you get in your tummy when you first met that special someone. Maybe you would go to the textbook example we have that describes love in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, where Paul writes, "Love is," which oftentimes that passage describes anything but our love. For centuries, maybe even for millennia, poets and writers have tried to put words of love onto pen and paper, yet love remains a complicated mystery. Love is pure. Love is painful. Love is sweet. Love is dreadful. Love is simplistic, yet very complex. Where does love begin? Well, that may depend on what type of love we're dealing with. Love between a couple, meaning a man and woman, usually starts with some level of attraction. Oftentimes, this attraction is confused with the feeling of falling in love. As we know, love is developed, love is nurtured and learned. Psychologists and sociologists agree that there's different chemical reactions that happen in the human brain that differs immensely between love and lust, but both are pivotal in a long-lasting, nurturing relationship. The feeling of attachment is also associated with love, although not exclusive to romantic love. Attachment usually involves feeling of comfort, ease, companionship, and this is where we receive our nurturing, caring behavior from. As we know, our English language has done a huge disservice and discredit to the word love. But we know from the scriptures the four major forms of love used in the Greek. We understand that not all forms of love are created equal or should be treated the same. Telling someone that you love them is immensely important psychologically, but unfortunately, if used too often, flippantly, it can become commonplace and even watered down. Your actions can't differ from your words. Studies and just plain common sense have shown that telling someone you love them isn't always the best way to show them. Behavioral actions, rather than purely verbal expressions, trigger more conscious indicators of love. To put it plainly, our actions speak louder than our words. And I'm as guilty as this as anyone. I'm not as loving as I should be. I'm not as compassionate as I should be. I don't show mercy or grace as often as I should at a husband, father, brother, friend, stranger, and greater more, a Christian. Fortunately for us, we have the greatest example to follow, and that is it begins with our Father in heaven. For the sake of time, we certainly can't cover all the passages that involve God's love, but merely just scratch the surface of the greatest love letter ever written, and that is God's Word. Of course, we know John 3:16 tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Then Romans 5:8 tells us, "But God demonstrated his own love toward us, and that while we were sinners, Christ died for us." God didn't send his Son to save the righteous. He didn't save him to save the Christian or those in the church. For the scriptures are very clear on how many righteous are found. Not one. No, not one. God loved the world, the sinner, us, so much that he was willing to send his firstborn of creation, his Son, who had been by his side from the very beginning, to this earth to be hated, despised, rejected, and eventually killed. Why would God do this? Simple case, God is love. We see this in 1 John 4:16. It says, "We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this, love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For the one who does not love his brother, whom he's seen, cannot love God, who he has not seen. And this commandment we have learned from him, that the one who loves God should also love his brother. Micah 7:18 also tells us God delights in unchanging love, meaning God's love is the same yesterday as it is today. God's love is the same 2,000 years ago as it will be tomorrow. God was the first example of perfect love. His son, Jesus, is the second, naturally, because according to Hebrews 1:3, his son is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature. Whatever God is, his son is also. If God so loved the world, then Christ so loved the world and was willing to come and die for the unrighteous. John 15:13 tells us, greater love has no man than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You can almost hear the agony and the pain in Jesus' love when in Matthew 23:27 he uttered these words, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those sent to you, how often I've longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, yet you are not willing. Even though none of us have seen Christ in the flesh, we love him because of his deeds. We love him for what he has done for us. He not only has told us how much he loves us, but he showed us by going to the cross. Greatermore, we love him because he first loved us and gave up his life for us. We come here today to remember his death, burial, and resurrection. We come here individually as saved people to meet around his table. Collectively, we come here as the bride of Christ and remember the greatest demonstration of love the world has ever known. In Ephesians 5:25, it says, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all of her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. Christ died for his bride on the cross. He came to this earth and demonstrated his love, but yet was met with rejection. And we see from examples in Scripture, Christ did not die from his beatings. He didn't die from his crucifixion, but he died from a broken heart because of his love, his great love he brought to this earth and was rejected for it. Our Father and God in heaven, we thank you, Lord, so much for this day in which you have blessed us with. We thank you so much for this time that we just can't even fathom, Lord, the love that you have for us, that you would come to this earth and bear our sins upon the cross, Lord, and take the punishment, Lord, that should have been ours, that should be ours. But yet you went through with it, Lord, for us who are not worthy. And we thank you, God, so much for that sacrifice, Lord. And just please, God, be with us this day as we partake of these emblems, which represent your body and your blood. Just help us to partake of these in a worthy manner, Lord, and just please forgive us for when we sin and fall short, and help us to do better tomorrow than we have today, Lord. And we just cannot tell you how much we love you, Lord, but let us show you how much we love you by our actions each and every day. In Jesus' name, amen.